St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to what God is going to do each and every day as we face the issues. And we invite your telephone call. You're joining in the dialogue and discussion. And that telephone number to call in is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your thoughts, your comments, dialogue, and discussion. In just one moment, we'll start taking our calls. For example, one of the ones that's been appointed to the FBI, Cash Patel. Yes, Cash Patel's name brings fear, trembling to the those that think somehow, some way that everything is okay. Christopher Wray, head of the FBI now, has said recently he's thinking about retiring early. In fact, Ray is literally going to retire early, and I believe it's because he wants to get out of Dodge. He sees a new sheriff in charge. Here's what Cash Patel said in a book that he published just a few months back. Title of the book is Government Gangsters. It calls for a comprehensive house cleaning of the Justice Department and an eradication of the government tyranny within the FBI by firing the top ranks and prosecuting to the fullest extent of the law anyone who in any way would abuse their authority for political ends. Goes further to say, Patel claimed in his book, Democrats should be very afraid. He wrote, as Trump and his allies battle the deep state, what conspiracy theorists claim is a cadre of career employees inside government who are working together to secretly manipulate policy and undermine the elected leaders. That's just a little brief phrase statement out of Cash Patel's book entitled, as I said a moment ago, Government Gangsters. He has the ability, he knows what's in the sewer, he knows how to handle it, and he's been appointed the FBI director by Donald J. Trump. Of course, he's got to be confirmed by the Senate, but it's a good thing. Ladies and gentlemen, any of these names, hear me, any of these names that Trump has postulated as his appointments for the cabinet positions, if the Senate fails to confirm them, then all Donald Trump has got to do is appoint them, and that appointment, I understand, I thought it was for 90 days or 180 days, the appointment is good for 2 years. So if he just appoints them, it'll get him 2 years down the road to clean house as he's wanting to do. So we need to, again, as we're talking today, pray for America. Praying for those that lead us. Praying, number one, that God will move and motivate their hearts to do the right thing. And secondly, if they're not willing to submit to God and do the right thing, pray that God will remove them and that God will use President Trump. He's divinely intervened to put him once again in office as president. First time in the history that we've seen that take place, coming back from the dead, as the old cliche would go. So we need to pray that God will give him not just the intervention that he's done, but give Donald J. Trump wisdom and insight, protection for the next several days, a couple of months in particular, as he goes through some of the roughest waters, I believe, that we'll see for America. I believe Derby's on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, concerning the appointments, of course, I love Matt Gaetz as Attorney General, but I have seen online so many Republican senators who, when they are asked about Gaetz, they don't give an answer. They just ramble and don't say whether they support him or not. Of course, to me, those senators are not supporting Gaetz, and they are not supporting Trump if they do not support Gaetz. Now, one more point is the that has not been decided is the press secretary. For press secretary, I suggest Alex Jones from InfoWars, who would be a lion, who would answer and get back at the reporters, et cetera, et cetera. Jones has been fighting this fight for over 30, 40 years, long before hardly anybody in Congress. Jones called George Bush the second, or the son, a globalist. You know, he called Bush out when I thought Bush was a good guy. Alex Jones knew he was a fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, those are my comments. We've said the same thing. We thought that George H.W. Bush and George Bush were good people. They were there to serve the people, et cetera, et cetera, not knowing that they were part of the globalist, elitist mindset to basically make a transformation of America and do a total change of our nation, submitting us under the leadership of the United Nations. That was their goal, and we didn't recognize. They said some things that were good. They did some good things. Some of the things we're having today with governmental intervention and censorship is as a result of the knee-jerk laws that were passed under George Bush after 9/11. And yet many people do not realize what he gave us as a result of that. I think it's a shame when we have laws that are passed right after a major national emergency that it's a knee-jerk pass to try to quench any future confrontation or problems like that. But going back to Alex Jones, if he's the press secretary, we will have a circus every day. Can you imagine the press conference, how it would go each and every day? There would be no such thing as a calm press conference. There would be no such thing as any idle conversation. There would be an attempt to undermine Alex Jones every moment of every day. I wouldn't have any objection to that. I think that it would probably not happen because it would cause a circus each and every day. But you're right. He brought out things. And by the way, he's been sued to the gills because of some of the things he said and done, some of which maybe was marginal, but other things that he'd said that were absolutely correct. The leftists, the Marxists, the media, the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party hates Alex Jones. And so we need to recognize, yes, he would make a good mouthpiece for telling the truth, speaking the truth, standing on the truth in relationship to press secretary. I believe the young lady that was press secretary the last time Bush was, not Bush, but last time President Trump was in, I've forgotten her name. I believe she would make
McEnany?
A good. Pardon? McEnany.
McElhaney.
I believe that she would make a good press secretary again, whether he would select her or not. Just recently, Hobbit, one of Trump's attorneys, was considered to be in that position, but she has taken herself out of the race for that position. It would take somebody, in my opinion, Derby, that's a good, sharp attorney, legal mind, that can refute twisted questions that are designed to hit the headlines the next moment or the next day. Say, well, the press secretary said so-and-so to undermine the authority and the power of a Bush presidency. I believe we need somebody that's level-headed, somebody that can handle the wolves that are trying to get half answers or partial answers or no answers that they can make headlines. The socialist Marxist media all designed on undermining by false, phony, fake headlines. By the way, you already know this, I'm sure. The Communist Network News, CNN, laying off about 1,000 people because their ratings dropped out of the bottom of the tank. Some of their major key anchors are going to be removed. They see the handwriting on the wall that they can no longer look at it from the standpoint of a successful media presentation if they're taken one-sided and just simply being the lead arm, the lead mouthpiece, and the face for the Marxist Party, the Socialist Party, the Democratic Party. So, Debbie, what are your thoughts in relationship to Tom Holman that's been appointed now as the border czar?
Well, I love him. He gave the right answer. You don't separate the family. You deport the whole family together. But what I see wrong about Trump and Holman, the criminals you don't deport, you put them in jail to work hard labor to pay for their crimes and to benefit the victims of the of their crimes. Because if you, as I have said it before, you deport the criminal, then it comes right back. So what's the use? You're wasting your time, Trump and Holman.
Well, I agree with that from the standpoint that they've committed crimes here in America. Prosecute them, put them in jail, throw the keys away. That's what the justice system is about. But if they have not at this point committed a crime in America, yet they are here illegally, return them to their home places of domicile. By the way, the media is acting as though Trump will be the only one that's ever done that. Deportation took place under Clinton. Deportations took place under Biden. Deportation took place under Barack Hussein Obama by the millions. And yet they are all upset and pulling the hair on fire.
And Eisenhower deported millions,
yes,
too.
Yes, absolutely. The last one, for example, with Reagan believed the lie of the Democrats. He gave about 4 million amnesty back in the early 80s on the basis that they would shut the border and this would not happen again. Well, he got deceived. He bought the lie. And ever since then, I've said you can't trust what the Democrats say in relationship to the border. Now they're trying to bamboozle, as I use the term, President Trump going back in, that he can't deport people. And yes, he can. And yes, he should. By the way, just as a closing thought, for our listeners and for you to hear, Donald Trump said this about Matt Gaetz. It is my great honor and announcement to Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida. It is hereby nominated to be Attorney General of the United States. Matt is a deeply gifted and tenacious attorney trained at William and Mary College of Law, who has distinguished himself in Congress through the focus of achieving desperately needed reform of Department of Justice. Matt will end the weaponization of the government, protect our borders, and dismantle criminals. On the House of Judiciary Committee, which performed oversight of the DOJ, Matt played a key role in defending and defeating, that is, the Russia hoax and exposing alarming and systematic government corruption and weaponization. So I commend him for nominating Matt Gaetz. Matt's going to have a tough time because some of the rhinos in the House do not like him. Some of the rhinos in the Senate will vote against him. My opinion, the only way Matt Gaetz is going to be approved is for President Trump to just simply appoint him rather than it being a nomination and then a process of approval by the Senate. Trump's going to have to just simply appoint him on a temporary basis, which means he's got 2 years, then he can reappoint him if he wanted to for the next 2 years. Let me just do a little footnote to this, Derby. I believe President Trump will use Matt Gaetz as that DOJ head in order to, go through all of the files, to pull out every file where the DOJ was involved with the White House, with the Oval Office, for the raid on Mar-a-Lago, for all of the cases of the weaponization of the law and prosecution of Donald Trump. President Trump wants those absolute files so that he can go back and prove that what he said is correct, that the orders to do so came directly out of the Oval Office with Joe Biden, and I believe he will then institute major suits against the past DOJ and the United States government for allowing that to take place. I believe that's what he'll do it for. I believe that's his goal, and I don't blame him one iota. So it's my prayer that that will be successful in his administration. Derby, we need to keep praying. The battle is still before us.
One more quick point. The more that any of his nominees are attacked, the more that we should want them.
Yeah, like absolutely.
Everybody's against Matt Gaetz. Then it's got to be Matt Gaetz and nobody else. And if he can do that appointing, let him appoint the whole cabinet.
Yes, yes. Appoint the cabinet, then as he can get them approved, do so. But I'm of the opinion, just as you, they need to be, he needs to be able to start on January the 21st, 2025, the day after his swearing-in ceremony. He needs to be on the full-fledged, on the go, with a full cabinet already ready to go. I believe that is needed and necessary, and I believe that we need to keep praying that God will allow that. Derby, thanks so much for your call, for your input, and for your presence. Thank you, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about we need to be praying for America. Kash Patel is the FBI director. Matt Gaetz, the attorney general. When I talk about Matt Gaetz, as we were just talking a moment ago, I just simply say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that you have the possibility of putting a man in that's got the backbone to face, confront, and do battle with the enemy, as this man has already proven that he can do and will do. Then you got Tulsi Gabbard, ladies and gentlemen, Director of National Intelligence. Tulsi Gabbard, one that I think will do a good job in relationship to carrying out the task in that field. She has a major background that is pristine. She has a background that says to me that she can do the task, carry out the job. I'm looking at a little blurb. Gabbard announced in 2022 that she was leaving the Democratic Party. She was an independent for a short time before joining the Republican Party and Trump's campaign earlier this year. She is currently co-chair of Trump's transition team. She has a background, ladies and gentlemen, of military service. She's a colonel in the National Guard, if I'm not mistaken, at the present time. And I'm just simply thankful that God is using President Trump to select those that are qualified. I'm looking at Tulsi Gabbard's brief bio. Four-term congressman, 2020 presidential candidate. Tulsi Gabbard is a veteran with three deployments to war zones in the Middle East and Africa. She has served in uniform for more than two decades, currently a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve, serving as battalion commander of the 354th Regiment in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and leads her nonprofit organization called We Must Protect, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, she's highly qualified. And yet you have those on the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, the Democrats, that are saying that she ought not to be. I simply put, with everyone that Trump has announced that he's selecting, ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset that somehow, some way, they need to be defeated because they're bad people. Just as our previous caller said, Derby said, that if the media is against it, we need to understand that's the right choice. And I believe he is about 100% right in that analysis of it. I believe James is on the line. James, go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, terrific. My question is this, and I do agree with what Derby said about if they're raising a big fuss and picking these candidate or these officials apart that he's wanting to get vetted and so forth and get on these different boards and these positions, I think he's exactly right. But my question is this. Do you think that the church as a whole, because they obviously did a lot to wake their congregations up at the last minute. California had those laws where harvesting was legal, and thousands of churches got their congregations to do, and some of them, drive-up ballot harvesting. I want to say that it was 1,200 churches in California alone were legal ballot harvesting. The pastor said, great, we're not only going to support that, we're going to let you drive up to the church and do it. And now that may change. But do you think that the church can keep the fire lit, that people have remembered their first love and gotten back to the fact that separation of church and state is from the pit of hell, and that we can't have separation of morals? Because what the left tries to do in many cases is attack the morals. Do you think the church will stay committed and on fire and continue to prepare and equip their congregations to stand firm in the word?
I can answer that with a qualified yes. The qualification is this. We're already witnessing a major apostasy falling away in the churches. Part of the falling away, in fact, the falling away, was expedited and exponentially increased when the federal government said the churches had to close. We need to have pastors that will recognize and realize that the pastor cannot be prosecuted, cannot be in any way, turned away from the truth simply by calling it the 501c3 requirement. President Biden, in March of 2017, President Trump, in March of 2017, canceled by executive order, canceled the IRS regulation that says a church, a pastor, loses their constitutional religious liberty and freedom of speech when they step in the pulpit. That is not so. And so as a result of that, I think what we need is an enlightenment campaign, an informational campaign that tells the pastors, you're free as a citizen, and your Bill of Rights have not been canceled. Your Bill of Rights are not modified, infringed upon, or changed just because you're a Christian, just because you're a pastor. So we need to, pastors, churches, Christians need to understand that. However, you've got a number of denominations today that the congregation feels that the pastor ought not to talk about political things. Because after all, if you talk about political things, you may touch on the fact the LGBTQ sodomite agenda might come up. If you touch on what they call political things, the pastor might say that abortion is murder and it ought not to be so. And most pastors are afraid that somewhere in their congregation, they'll have a socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat member, Democratic Party member, that will get upset if he speaks the truth. There's no such thing, James, no such thing as political conversation from the pulpit. If it is about abortion, murder, that is a moral issue. That's a biblical issue. If it's about the political leaders, those civil leaders and civil government that we elect, that is a biblical issue based on the authority of the Word of God that we need to talk about. In fact, James, I go back to the 1700s, when pastors would have their message on Sunday where they're castigating their political city leaders for what they're doing morally and ethically against God. They would have those hand-printed and then posted on the marquee in the middle of city square, so the if you please, the political leaders would know what the preacher said about them and the message on Sunday morning. That caused that political leader to sit up, stand up, straighten up, speak up, and do the right thing for the citizens in that city. We need to go back to that, where pastors are not afraid to speak the truth in love. So I hope that that has been an elongated answer, but nevertheless an answer indeed. The church needs The church needs to wake up. We need to speak up. Go ahead.
We should get copies of that New England primer that we discussed back in the classrooms. You know, they're going to blow up the, not literally, but they're going to dismantle the Department of Education in Washington, and so they should. And several states are stepping up and saying we need to put the Bible back in there. Daniel Webster learned from this, but it's been around forever, and you and I joked about that, and I had never even heard of the New England primer and how it did the America's first textbook after the Bible. They printed the alphabet, and so they had a letter and then a saying, and it was a proverb or a quote from Genesis or Matthew or James or Psalm or Samuel or the Book of Ruth, and it went down, and they all rhymed, and children loved them of all ages, and adults loved them. And as you read through it, you went, wow, Lot fled to Zoar, saw a fiery shower on Sodom, poor, Genesis 1:9, and it went through A through Z. Why did, you know, for a while there, even when we got away from the Bible, they at least had Hooked on Phonics. But that we've seen, like you said, the takeover of socialism and Marxism, and what their number one goal in communism and socialism and Marxism is, get God out of the public square. Well, where do we want God as believers? At the center of the public square, at the center of the family, at the center of government, at the center of business. God is our everything, and Jesus is the only way to him. He says, I am the way, the life, and the truth.
Amen. Well, James, one of the things we need to recognize, and that I need to at this point jump in and say for our listeners' benefit, and you and I already know this, the best thing Trump can do, not necessarily, not necessarily number one, but the best thing he can do is to dismantle the U.S. Department of Education, take the teachers' union apparatus out of the picture. What funds are in the U.S. Department of Education, let it be appropriated to each of the states based on the number of students in that state. Let the states then remand it back to the local counties with the funds attached so that the parents could have the say-so, and it's only then that we can put God back in the classroom. It's only then that we have the chance of putting the Bible back in the classroom. It's only then that we can have prayer in the classroom. It's only then that we can have the flag and have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Amen. And be left up to the local county, states, and municipalities and the parents making those decisions. And I believe the Department of Education, you can go back and look when it was instituted under the leadership of Jimmy Carter. You can look at the graft and the number of those students having a better education plummeted to the very lowest level, and yet the cost for the education skyrocketed after the Department of Education was set up. Why is that so? Because of the billions of dollars that's used for the hierarchy in the leadership role and for those that are in the teachers' union that are forcing the schools. In fact, there was an argument recently on television where they had a debate, one that was for the Department of Education, one that was against it. And the female that was against the dismantling of the Department of Education said that if we do that, there will be no education for the students. There will be no funds available, et cetera, et cetera. And that's simply not so. It's a scare tactic. The same funds that right now in Duval County, for example, from kindergarten through high school, the average is about $14,000 per student. And yet you can take with charter schools, which is still a public school apparatus but privately operated, they get 66.5% of that 100% dollar. So charter schools save the taxpayers' dollars for every charter school that's opened out there because they get less money than the full amount that goes out of the coffers of the taxpayers. So it goes back to what I've been saying is Department of Education must go.
What if Jew or Gentile, go back to the Torah and look at Deuteronomy 32:2. Jew or Gentile, let my teaching drop as rain, my speech distill as dew, as raindrops on tender herb, and as showers on the new grass. What do great teachers have a heart for? They're not out for the money, the great teachers. They're out to instill that sort of love and that sort of power in a child. They're empowering. Well, you can't impart what you don't possess. And the teachers nowadays, their hands are tied, even the ones of faith. And you're right.
Right.
You're right. We need to go. It's really, really a time for us to stand up. The people in the ministry need to stand up and lovingly get this word out and let them know we're going to still be under attack, and I think it's going to increase. And as Derby said, anybody that's getting attacked like this that he's suggesting go into these cabinet positions, well, that should be a yes vote. That should be a check. And if it has to be by executive or whatever you call it, I don't know the legal term, and then every 2 years renew it, because it is. It's going to stir it up. What does the devil do when he's exposed, you know? And that's what we're doing. The light is driving out darkness, and it's screeching on the way out the door.
Absolutely. James, thank you so much for your call and your comments. You're target on target, and I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got just a few seconds on the broadcast for today. John Ratcliffe, for example, CIA director. John Ratcliffe served as the director of national intelligence during Trump's first term, and he's going to head up the CIA now in the second term, and I don't think there could have been a better appointment than John Ratcliffe for that position. Ladies and gentlemen, all of the positions that Trump's making, all of his appointments, I think we need to pray and ask God to give him wisdom in completing his cabinet, and that we would give him wisdom and that God would intervene and give success. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.